Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
I want you to grab your Bibles right away, church, and I want you to take them and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20 is where we're going to be this morning. And this morning, I want you to know that we're starting a brand new series, and the series is called Atonement. And we're going to be looking at four aspects or four results of the atonement. But before we go any further, I think it's important for us to get a definition of the word atonement. You may be listening right now. You may be wondering, what does that word even mean? Atonement. It's an important word. It's a biblical word, and it's a word that we need to understand. On the screen for you, Wayne Grudem gives us a good definition of the atonement. He defines it this way. The atonement is the work Christ did in his life and death to earn our salvation. I'll read it again. The atonement is the work Christ did in his life and death to earn our salvation. So I want you to understand that word, and I want you to grasp and get a handle on that word, because that word means everything to us. And so throughout this series, the question that we're seeking to answer is this: what exactly is the work Christ did to earn our salvation? What exactly it was involved in the cross of Jesus Christ? We want to understand that. We want to get our hearts dwelling on that. And we're seeking to answer that question not just for increased head knowledge. That's not what we're going for as a church. We're seeking to ask and answer this question not just so that we can become more theologically astute, but we're seeking to ask and answer this question so that we can increase individually and as a church our awe and our amazement and our obedience and our peace and our worship, particularly in a time of increased anxiety and fear. All that we need, loved ones, is found in what Christ has done for us in the atonement. Now, some of you may be wondering and asking the question, why have we as elders decided to go ahead with our planned series on the atonement? Because this was planned for a while. Why didn't we shift gears to address some of the specific questions of our time related specifically to the coronavirus? Well, in an article entitled Seven Lessons from Singapore's Church for When the Coronavirus Reaches Yours, a pastor named Edmund Chan wrote this, and I want you to pay careful attention. He wrote, "The world has a virus infection that is far greater than all the viruses we've ever known throughout history. That virus is sin. And with this virus, there is absolutely no immunity, no survivors, and no hope. And it infects 100% of all humanity. No one is spared from this. The world is in need of a savior. The world is in need of salvation. And headlines that regularly ratchet up the local and global death counts are daily reminders of our mortality, forcing everyone to look beyond the routines of life and to consider what lies beyond. We will all someday die by COVID-19 or otherwise." Now, the reason we're going ahead with our series in the atonement is because this is precisely what we need right now in this time, in this moment in history. We need a renewed understanding. We need a renewed passion. We need a renewed awareness of what Christ has done for us. We need a renewed appreciation of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need as a church, and that's what this world needs in this time. We need to know what the atonement means and what Jesus Christ has done in his life and death to earn our salvation. And so we're going to be unpacking four crucial aspects of the atonement, four results of Christ's work: a reconciliation, a propitiation, justification, and redemption. And we're trusting that our church is going to be strengthened in hope during this time and abounding in peace in these difficult days. And let me just stop right here and ask, do you need a peace today? Do you need the peace of God that passes all understanding? We believe that we will find it, we will grow in it, we will be strengthened in the peace of God as we unpack what Christ has done for us in his life and death. So I want you to take your Bibles again and look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 22. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth. This is what he says. He says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19. "That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And so the title of this morning's message is Reconciliation. We were separated. Reconciliation refers to the end of the separation caused by sin between God and humanity. So let's jump in right away. If you have a pen and paper on hand, I want you to write this down. The separation between God and man can only be resolved by God, write this down, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. This is the message we need. This is the focus we need. Look at verse 18. Paul says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." So let's stop right there for a moment. When Paul says, "All this is from God," as good Bible students, we need to stop and ask the question, all what is from God? We need to step back and gain a little bit of the context. And the answer is found for us in the preceding verses. I want you to notice it. It's on the screen for you, verses 14 to 17. Paul writes this: "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this," watch this, "that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Notice verse 17. It says, "Therefore, because of this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The Apostle Paul says, all this is from God. All what? All of the transformation that comes to those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That it is only through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross in our place and for our sins that our status as enemies of God can be completely changed. That outside of a relationship with Christ, outside of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the whole world is at enmity with God. And this is what reconciliation is addressing, that through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we who were once far away, you and me, We who were once far off, completely estranged from God, completely separated from Him with no hope in this world. We who were once rebellious enemies of God can now be completely transformed and brought near. Now, why is this such massively and particularly good news for us today? Why is this a massively and particularly important for us today? Well, it's important for us today because playing out right before our very eyes is a global demonstration of the brokenness and the alienation of our entire world. That's what's playing out right before us. That's what's on full display for the whole world to see as the coronavirus is spreading and it seems like it's unstoppable. What we are witnessing is a display of the alienation and the separation of the entire world from God's intended purpose for it. And so when sin entered the world, now we need to all understand this. This is important. When sin entered the world, its effects created a multi-layered alienation, a multi-layered separation. The moment sin entered the equation, all of creation broke down. Our relationship with God broke down. We were separated. Our relationship with other people broke down. We are alienated from each other because of sin. Our relationship with the creation itself broke down. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 8 on the screen for you. He wrote, "For the creation was subjected to futility." He goes on, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves." Loved ones, everything in the universe is broken by sin. And there exists a separation, an alienation, an enmity, listen to me, that can only be repaired by God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is the only way. Why does the atonement matter for us today in the midst of a widespread global pandemic called the coronavirus? Why? Because it simply displays for us a greater need that we have. A greater need that all of us have, a need to be joined back together, a need to be brought back together with our Savior. It's only through the person of Jesus Christ. And so many provinces in our country, along with many other countries all over the world, are in a state of emergency today. There's a highly contagious virus spreading everywhere, seemingly unstoppable. It's ravaged China. It has shut down Italy. It's locking down Iran and Spain and so many more nations. And right here at home, our economy is fragile. The vulnerable among us are at risk. Grocery store shelves are emptying quickly. People are anxious and fearful, and many are in a state of panic. Maybe that is describing you. Loved ones, we need to understand this today. And all around us, what is taking place is very important, and we as a church must respond courageously and quickly and with the word of God and with deeds of mercy and compassion. But listen to me very carefully. What we must understand is this: what is happening all around the world today is just symptomatic of a much deeper, more radical problem. The entire creation is broken. Human beings are broken. But God, through Jesus Christ, has made a way to make things right. But God, through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross in our place and for our sins, has made a way to reconcile sinners back to himself, to make enemies of friends again, to make right all that has fallen apart, and to bring us into right relationship with himself. This is what matters most in the days that we are living in. The Apostle Paul says, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. The separation between God and man, it can only be resolved through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Question for you. Have you received the forgiveness and mercy and grace and love of Jesus Christ in your life? In a day where we're tempted to look all kinds of other places, Jesus Christ is the only answer to our problem of separation from God. The separation between God and man can only be resolved by God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to write this down where you are. The separation between God and man can only be resolved by God through, write this down, through the forgiveness of sins. It's our great need. Look at verse 18 and 19 again. Paul says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Here it is. Not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's really important what we're unpacking here. The transition statement, that is, it introduces an explanation of how a God reconciles people to himself. And the answer, as we've seen already, is in Christ, that in and through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, he's removing the barrier that exists between God and man. He's closing the chasm that exists between God and man. Let's just get a preview. Let's look ahead over the next 3 weeks, that he's satisfying the wrath of God towards all our sin. That's propitiation. We're going to get there. That he's paying the penalty that was owed for all our sin. That's a justification. We're going to get there. That he's releasing us from the bondage that is present in all of our sin. That's redemption. We're going to get there too. And in the atonement, Jesus Christ is standing in our place, and all of our sin is being transferred to him, and all of his righteousness is being transferred to us. Paul says, not counting our trespasses against us. This, loved ones, is how reconciliation happens. That which separated us from God must be removed. That's what's happening in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's reconciling us back to himself by imputing his righteousness to us and taking our sin upon him. Paul says it, not counting our trespasses against us. That is awesome. That whatever you have done, wherever you have been, whatever thoughts are filling your mind, whatever the inclination of your heart has been towards sin and rebellion and idolatry, whatever it is, that through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, he reconciles us back to himself by not counting our sin against us. He takes our sin from us and he gives to us his perfect righteousness. It's beautiful. Now, it was C.H. Spurgeon who said this on the screen. You and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together. I'm going to read it again. You and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together. This is what Jesus does for us. He takes our sin away through the blood of the cross. Now, loved ones, if left to ourselves, if left on our own, we would never be able to separate from our sins. But the good news for us is this: because of the atoning work of Christ, God does not count our trespasses against us. Instead, he forgives us. Now, you're watching from wherever you are, and you need to hear this today, because some of you are saying, Jason, that sounds good, but you don't know where I've been. Some of you are saying, that sounds great, Jason, maybe for someone else, but you don't know. I've done too much. I've drifted too far. I've isolated myself too many times. I've rebelled against God, and now I feel like it's too late. Now I can't even go to church even if I wanted to. Now I'm all alone. I'm isolated here. I feel like I'm all alone in this place of despair. I've done too much. I've gone too far. Now, if that's you and you feel like it's too late, I want to tell you it's not. On the screen for you, John MacArthur wrote this: God freely forgives repentant and believing sinners, canceling their unpayable debt and reconciling them to himself. God wants to do that for you, and he can do that for you because of the atonement, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. On the screen, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us, to wash us, to give us a new start. Psalm 103 verse 12 on the screen says, as far as the east is from the west, look at this, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that, you say? Well, the east and west never meet. Through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, he reconciles us to himself by forgiving our sins and not counting our trespasses against us. There's a beautiful old hymn that I love so much, and it says this: what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's our greatest need, loved ones. What does the world today need most? What do your neighbors need most today? What do we need most in the midst of a global pandemic, in the midst of the shelves in the grocery store emptying, in the midst of the vulnerable hiding in fear of getting this virus and dying? What do we need most, loved ones? We need to be reconciled to God. We need to be washed in his blood. And if you turn to him right now, where you are, if you turn in repentance and faith, if you put your trust in him, he will wash away every stain that sin has applied to your heart, and he will give you a fresh start today, reconciling you, saving you. The separation between God and man can only be resolved by God. Through Jesus Christ, it's the only way. Through forgiveness of sins, it's my great need. Finally, I want you to make note of this. The separation between God and man can only be resolved by God. I'll write this down. Through the ministry of the church, our high calling. Through the ministry of the church. Notice verses 18 to 20 again. Listen to this. All this is from God, the total transformation, the new life that God gives, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Here it is now. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Watch this. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, this is very powerful. There are two main themes running side by side here in 2 Corinthians 5, specifically in the verses we've read today, that we have been reconciled to God by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be reconciled than through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God. And here's the other theme, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Other translations say a word of reconciliation. That God has brought us near, and now we are commissioned to bring others who are far from God to come near to him as well. That we were once enemies of God. God has made us his friends, and now we are now commissioned on a mission to bring other enemies of God into friendship with God. Not only that, but the Apostle Paul makes the calling even more explicit. I want you to look at verse 20 again. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What's an ambassador? What does an ambassador do? An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Paul is saying that Christians are official representatives of our great King. That we are sent with a message and a ministry of reconciliation. That like the diplomat, this world, it's not our home. It's a foreign land. It's plagued by virus. It's plagued by sickness. It's plagued by sin. We are just exiles passing through, and we have a mission. The diplomat, the ambassador doesn't settle in and get comfortable in the foreign land, but they stay on task. They stay on mission. They know what they are there to do, and they work to faithfully accomplish their assignment as a good representative of their homeland. Loved ones, this is who we are. This is who we are as believers in Jesus Christ who have been reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of our great King. We are representatives with a message from the King. We are to bring that message in the foreign land that we are in right now. This is not our permanent residence. It's not our home forever. We are here for a time as ambassadors, as diplomats. Well, why does this matter to us? It needs to matter to us, Hope Church, because this is a time where we are tempted to think about ourselves. This is a time for us to be tempted to just worry about ourselves and quarantine ourselves. And yes, we have to do that. And yes, we have to obey the government and all those things. But we're tempted just to be thinking about ourselves. Is there enough food in my fridge? Do I have what I need? Well, I think what the Apostle Paul is bringing to our attention here is this. One commentator said, God uses the preached word of reconciliation to reconcile others to him. Like no other time, we need to be awakened to this truth and this reality. We are ambassadors, representatives, carriers, as men and women who have been reconciled to God. We are carriers of this word, this ministry of reconciliation. And there are people all around us. There are neighbors beside us that we can pick up the phone and call and bring the word of reconciliation to, because they're far from God. They're separated from God. They need to know what God has done for them in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. There are people that you're going to need to get on a Zoom call with, or a Skype call, or a FaceTime call with. You're going to have to make it a priority in these days, because there are people out there that remain separated and alienated from God. And we have been given the ministry, the word of reconciliation, such that the reconciling work of Jesus Christ comes to the world according to God's sovereign plan through the church. Now, we can't gather physically. We can't invite people to the church. But the Great Commission has never been about inviting people to attend an event. The Great Commission has always been about the sending of the people of God to go. Go. You say, I can't go anywhere. Go on your phone. Go through text messages. Go through Zoom. Go through any platform that you can available to you, but don't just sit there. Go. As someone who's been reconciled to God, we have been given the message of reconciliation. I want you to listen to the important words of another pastor in Singapore as he led his church during the spread of the coronavirus. Pastor Ben Lee said this, so good for us, so important for us to hear. He said and asked the question, is the meaning of life and our time on this earth the prolonging and preservation of life for as long as possible? Is it to be occupied with temporal things, material wealth and comfort? Or is it to fulfill Jesus' desire to see all the rooms in our Father's house that he has prepared being filled to the brim? Oh, loved ones, we are in an important moment in history. In fact, history is being written as we speak. What will the history books say about the Church of Jesus Christ in the time of the coronavirus? What will the pages read? Will the pages read that the church disappeared in the time of the coronavirus? Will the pages of history read that Christians were enveloped in fear at the time of the coronavirus? Will history reveal that Hope Church Toronto West was isolated and retreated and gave up and looked inward? Oh, loved ones, oh, that the history books would tell of our vibrant ministry of reconciliation in this time in history, in these days. Oh, that we would be a church that will implore people around us, be reconciled to God. He has brought us near by his blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has reconciled us to himself, loved ones. That's reason to rejoice. It's reason to have confidence. It's reason to celebrate. And now he has given to us a ministry, a word, a word of reconciliation, that we would now move out towards others in this time to bring the ministry of reconciliation in a way that will honor him in these days and advance the mission. Let's pray together, church, as we close. And right where you are, I want us to pray together. Pray along these lines. Lord Jesus, your church, are so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for the word of God. We're grateful for the cross of Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the finished work of Jesus Christ and all that that earned and accomplished for us. And today we're grateful for reconciliation. we who were once alienated and separated and enemies have been brought near. Lord, we say in prayer right now, gladly and with a heart of rejoicing, thank you. We are so glad to be reconciled to God. We are not afraid of what's taking place in our world today because we have been reconciled to God. God loves us and God is with us. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washed away all of our sins. And Lord, now I pray for our church. Yes, we are scattered, but the pages of the scriptures show us that you continued to grow your church even as they were scattered by persecution. You continued to multiply the impact of the gospel through your church, even in the midst of a time where they couldn't be in one place in Jerusalem at the same time, but they scattered throughout all the world. Lord, I pray that in the midst of this moment in history where we can't gather together physically in one place, but oh, that we would be gathered in spirit and in mind and in heart in one accord where we are right now, carrying and holding firmly to the ministry of reconciliation. God, I pray you would move upon the hearts of all of our leaders right now, every single person in our church, all of our hope groups, a deep desire and a longing and a yearning to take this message of hope, the message of reconciliation, and take it to people all around us. Show us how. Give us the tools. Give us clarity in our thinking of how we will do that. Lord, I pray you would release and unleash our church, perhaps like never before, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Ambassadors imploring people to be reconciled to God. And so we pray right now all together that you would be reconciling people to God all throughout our city, all throughout our province, all throughout our country, and all throughout the world. This is your time, God. This is your time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.